I would like you all to take a moment and look at the crucifix up above the sanctuary. On that cross, we see the image of a man known personally to many of us and only known by reputation to others. A man loved by many and scorned by others. A man known for great controversy and also for great compassion. A man who was thought to be as a prophet at times, as we heard in the gospel today. That man, of course, is Jesus Christ. It is he who we proclaim, he who we come to at Mass. Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, born of the Virgin Mother, crucified, died, buried, risen, and seated at the right hand of the Father. It is because of him, because of his life, death, and resurrection, that we profess to be Christians, uphold the Catholic faith, and celebrate the seven sacraments. 50 years ago, another man, another prophet, wrote a document about love, marriage, and contraception. The document very soon became a sign of contradiction. Drafted to treat a difficult situation, it constitutes a significant show of courage and reasserting the continuity of the Church's doctrine and tradition. This text, all too often misunderstood and misinterpreted, sparked much discussion because it was published at the beginning of a period of profound consternations that marked the lives of the last three generations. 50 years after its publication, this teaching not only expresses its unchanged truth, but also goes and reveals the far-sightedness that is contained within it. It's 50 years later, and still only 13% of Sunday-going Catholics believe and support the teaching of the Church found in this document. Somehow, I'm sure that when the Pew study came out, they did not pull enough of Our Lady of Hope parishioners, and that if they had, this percentage would be much higher. However, who was this man, and what is this document? The man is Blessed Paul VI, and he wrote Humani Vitae. And it's the 50th anniversary that we celebrated of Humani Vitae this past Wednesday. In it, he goes and made four predictions of what would happen if the use of the contraceptive pill became widespread in our culture. The first prediction, he went and said that an increase of marital unfaithfulness and a general lowering of morality would happen. Can anyone deny over the last 50 years that this has happened? In 1968, though, he was mocked for worrying about this, but it's only a couple of years afterwards that we saw the legalization of the pill in our own country. We saw the divorce rate double, and we know that the divorces are caused at times by infidelity. The second prophecy he made is that women would be objectified, that the objectification of women would happen. Again, many in 1968 asked, why are we worrying about this? This isn't going to happen. But in the wake of many Hollywood scandals and so forth, we see that this has happened, and we can't deny the validity of his prophecy. And with the increasing use of pornography on the internet, where it's more than the combination of the use of Google, Amazon, social media, how can we ask, is this prophecy not true? And then the third prophecy he made was that governments would begin to use contraception and encourage it on their populations. Surely in 1968, people probably thought he was crazy for saying such a thing. However, now we can look and we see the countries like China that have forced their population to use it. Or we can go look at our own country where we insisting other countries with aid. We go and say, we will only give you this aid if you have your population use contraception. Or we can think of the Little Sisters of the Poor, who for the last 5 years have had to fight in the courts so that a government mandate of contraception cannot be imposed upon them because of their faith. The last prophecy he went and made in Humani Vitae, that people would begin thinking that they had total dominion over their bodies. One can imagine reading that in 1968 and being like, what does this even mean? This is like, you're just talking nonsense here. However, now in our year of 2018, when people say that if you're a male but you think you are female, then you are. That merely thinking something in your mind is enough. That who can say now that Paul the Sixth was off of his mark? Or that now people can take the pill or insert some device into their bodies to control the miracle of life, to assert their own dominion over the body and take away what is meant to be a gift from God. We can go and see now the harmful effects that the pill and such devices have on the body. That was something that I was listening to the news this past week. And the news began to report about how this contraceptive device, I believe it was called Assure, was having these terrible harmful effects upon the woman's body. Or we can look at what the birth control pill does, of that it increases the risk of breast cancer by over 40% if it's taken by a woman before she delivers her first baby. And that risk increases to 70% if she takes the pill for over 4 years prior to the birth of her first baby. And other side effects seen there of blood clots, stroke, heart attacks, depression, just to name a few. The truth expressed in Humanae Vitae does not change, has not changed. It's precisely in the light of new scientific developments and discoveries that we can see the teachings contained in this document are even more timely and elicit more reflection upon the intrinsic value it possesses. The key word to enter into understanding this document is love. And it's Pope Benedict XVI in his first encyclical that he wrote, Deus Caritas Est, that he said, man is truly himself when his body and soul are intimately united. Yet it is neither the spirit alone nor the body alone that loves. It is man, the person, a unified creature composed of body and soul who loves. And if this unity is removed, the value of the person is lost. And there is serious risk of considering the body a commodity that can be bought and sold. In a culture subjective by the prevalence of having instead of being, human life risks losing its value, as we see with the culture of death. If the practice of sexuality becomes a drug that seeks to enslave one's partner to one's own desires and interests, without respecting the cycle of the beloved, then what must be defended must no longer solely be a true concept of love, but in the first place, the dignity of the human person. As believers, we could never let the domination of technology invalidate the quality of love and the sacredness of life. It's in Humanae Vitae that Paul VI taught us, the church, that the great purpose of marriage, the great purpose of matrimony, is a unitive and procreative love. And it's for this unitive and procreative love is the body and soul of matrimony, of the sacrament. And Blessed Paul said that the body and soul of marriage are one, and nothing can come between them, following the words that St. Paul wrote. So what happens when the body and soul are separated? Well, we know that when the soul leaves the body dies. Death occurs, and that there is no longer life. And this is what happens when the marital act is no longer unitive and procreative. We enter into the culture of death that we see running rampant in our secular society today. We see that love is no longer truly being love, because it is no longer being selfless. It's impossible to exaggerate the importance of selfless love in marriage. This love is, first of all, to be unitive love. Unitive love is that it's bringing the man and the woman together in that one bond, uniting them in that one love. Unitive love is so basic that without it there could be no valid marriage. And the unit of love is only possible between spouses through the grace of God. And it's this grace is assured by the sacrament of matrimony. But it must be sustained through the practice of fervent daily prayer and the reception of the sacraments of the Eucharist and penance. However, the purpose of marriage is also to foster procreative love. This means that marriage is divinely intended to animate the selfless love of the husband and wife to want to have children, to be open to the gift of children from God. Unlike unitive love, which provides for their mutual affection for each other, procreative love makes them desire to cooperate with each other in bringing offspring into the world and caring for and educating their children in what the church calls spiritual procreation. Once married people believe this, they are called to practice upon nothing less than heroic charity, the charity that we see the saints having. Because that is what we are called to be. We are all called to be saints. And so that they have this heroic charity to reproduce themselves. And this production is not only for the procreation of children in the body for this world, but it's also to reproduce themselves in the spirit for reunion of the family in the heavenly eternity. And again, just as proof of the accuracy of Blessed Paul VI's words and predictions are obvious and apparent, it's also equally impressive the positive statistics of those who utilize natural family planning that Humani Vitae proposed for couples to use. That we can see with natural family planning that it has a success rate of around 99% for those who discern that they ought to abstain during the fertile windows for the time being for various reasons discovered in prayer before God. And that for the couples using NFP, that the divorce rate is only around 1 to 3%, so incredibly low compared to the 50% we see elsewhere in our society now. It's not by chance that Jesus, in speaking about human love, alluded to what God created at the beginning of creation. His teaching refers to a free act with which the Creator not only meant to express the riches of his love, which is open, giving itself to all, but he also wanted to impress upon it a paradigm in accordance with which humanity's action must be declined. In the fruitfulness of conjugal love, the man and woman share in the Father's creative act. They join in his love of creation and make it clear that the origin of their spousal life, they pronounce a genuine yes, which is truly lived in reciprocity, remaining ever open to life. So may we meet again, be that people who are able to say in different ways and in different words what Jesus says to those he loves: "This is my body, which is given up for you."